you would, take your Bibles and open them to the 90th chapter of Psalms, chapter 90. And our text will be taken from the second verse of the Psalms for our study together this morning in worship. If you'll remember last Lord's Day afternoon, we looked at a section of Scripture in the 16th chapter of Mark, and it's a text of Scripture that we're all very familiar with. And we asked the question during that series of studies if we knew the verses before it and the verses after it. And I want to read them, because the lesson this morning and tonight will not necessarily be about that particular verse, but the study together will tie into and help us to see what the text really means in Mark 16 and at verse 16. Now I'm going to back up and catch this in verse 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. The 11 was his apostles, or future disciples, future apostles. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I appreciate so much the prayer that was prayed a few moments ago. And quite often you remember me in your prayers, and I'm so thankful for that. But I'm thankful for the entire group that worships here more than you can imagine.
Yeah.
And especially those of you that have made this congregation your home, and the background that you came from so different from what you're accustomed to in worship today. And you have studied so hard and have become so hungry and thirsty for the truth. Very seldom do I dedicate a particular lesson to anybody, but I'm going to tell you what. It's encouraging to me to see people that will come with their Bibles open and say, I don't understand this verse. Because if we don't understand that verse, we need to be able to understand it, and we need to study together until we really have a good, clear understanding of it. Now, here's what I'm thankful of. I'm thankful over the fact that you want to know what the verse teaches. Because most of my brethren that have been in the Lord's body for years, in most cases, what they know about something is what they've heard some preacher say. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God so that we can read it, comprehend it, understanding it and say, my faith is stronger because I've read it, I see it, and I believe it.
Amen.
Because it's in the text. Now, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to begin a study that will start this morning and tonight. And then, if you'll remember, we said on the second Monday night of each month, we have a special Bible study. Anybody that wants to come can come. And we said we were going to start a study on the Holy Spirit. So we're going to begin the introduction to that particular study this morning and tonight. Because when you're looking at text like we just read in Mark 16 and verse 17, unless we have a good, clear understanding of the Holy Spirit, it can really lead to a lot of confusion in places like this as well as other places throughout the entire Bible, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and I referred to it as the work of the Holy Spirit. Much of the work of the Holy Spirit will be discussed when we come back together tonight in our study. This morning, we're going to be looking primarily at the Holy Spirit. Because unless we understand who the Holy Spirit is, there's going to be a lot of confusion and misunderstanding over a lot of different issues that plague the religious world and the church that Jesus shed his blood and died for. Now notice, if you will, in Psalms chapter 90 and at verses 1 and 2, David said this, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now someone might be thinking, well, preacher, I didn't read a thing in the world about the Holy Spirit. And you said this study was about the Holy Spirit. And all this talked about was God and Him being from everlasting to everlasting. Well, the Holy Spirit is first mentioned back in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. If you'll remember when we began our study of the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 2 it says that the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved the face of the waters and said, let there be light. Then you drop down to verse 26 of that same chapter. And it says, let us make man in our likeness, or in our image. Now notice, if you will, if you begin to pay close attention, the word God is in the plural. And that is certainly signified not only in Genesis, but throughout the entire Bible, and especially when we get into the New Testament. And we'll be looking a lot tonight at the New Testament, what Jesus and the New Testament had to say about the work of the Holy Spirit. For example, notice, if you will, that the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesian church, in Ephesians chapter 4, had just said, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Notice, if you will, he said, one God, talking about the Father. Then remember, if you will, when we were studying the book of John, John begins his book in John chapter 1. And he begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word. Now the Word is referring to Jesus, the Father's Son, who became Jesus when he took the form of a man and the form of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on to say, all things that were made by him and without him was not anything made that was made. Now I want you to remember something in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 5, you find the Apostle Peter speaking to Ananias. And he said, Ananias, why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart so that you would lie to the Holy Spirit? Now let's kind of wrap this thing up. And now we can kind of see what we're talking about when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. God is plural. There was God the Father that Paul talked about to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 4. There was God the Son that John talks about in the introduction to his New Testament epistle, the book of John, that was responsible in the beginning of creating all things that were created. So there was the Father and there was the Son that was in the beginning. And lo and behold, here comes the Holy Spirit. We've already learned in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 1 that he spoke and said, let there be light. So when you're talking about God, you need to look at the context and see, well, who are you talking about? Are you talking about the Father? Are you talking about His Son? Or are you talking about His Spirit? You see, you have to look at the context from where you're reading. Because the term God is plural. They are one. They are God. Remember, if you will, back in the book of John. Remember, we started it back in John 1. Well, you get to the 17th chapter of the book of John. Jesus has now took upon himself the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of man. And was about to die on the cross of Calvary to make redemption possible for all of us to be reconciled to God. And he's trying to prepare his apostles for life without Him. And he explains to them, I've got to leave you guys, but I want you to know that I'm going to leave someone with you. Someone like myself. In John chapter 17, he has a prayer for them and basically for the church. And he said in verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me. Jesus says, I'm thankful, Father, for the glory that you gave me. I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. What lesson is he praying for? What is he wishing for his apostle? He is letting them know, praying for them, that he wishes that they are going to be one in message, one in unity, one in form, just as the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one. And he says, you know, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit. Someone just like myself. Someone that is God. And they're going to be able to answer your questions. They're going to be able to guide you. They're going to help you to understand what to say, when to say it, and tell you what to write and when to write. Don't we take so much for granted? For example, we pick up the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We read the book of Acts. We read the epistles all the way to the end of Revelation. It wasn't there when Jesus prayed this prayer. It wasn't there when Peter stood up on Pentecost and preached that first gospel sermon, nor was it there when those 3,000 souls went down into that watery grave and came up new creation in Christ Jesus. You see, the Word of God as we know it today was not complete. So it required help, divine help, help from above. And God had a part. The Father had a part, the Son had a part, and the Spirit had a part. Now, does that mean that there were three individually different, distinct gods? No. But unless we understand the nature and the purpose of God, unless we understand God, remember when we started our study, we said this book we call the Bible is a book about God, His nature and His personality. We're talking about His nature and His personality. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit and His work, the Son and His work, and the Father and His work. Amen. They are one in that. Mm-hmm. And we said the Bible is a book about sin. Sin separates us from God. And the Bible is a book about redemption. The reconciliation, the redeeming of man back into a unity with God. That's what he was praying for. I'm praying for these apostles, that just as you glorified myself, they can be glorified. You see, there's so much taught in the religious realm about the Holy Spirit that we can be so confused. It can lead to so much confusion. One of the things that Billy said that led him to question leaving the Pentecostal movement was the plurality of God. Because, you see, they don't believe in the plurality of God. Billy said one time, "I'm not a very smart guy. Didn't go too far in college. Don't have a PhD. But I know what we and they mean." So you see, you can have a lot of confusion and a lot of questions. There are people that refer to the Holy Spirit as it. There are people that refer to the Holy Spirit as a ghost. There are people that confuse the work of the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit. For example, the Bible talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit are two different subjects. The Bible talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Again, two different things. So you see, we've got to know something about the Holy Spirit, understand what God is and who God is, and something about His nature before we can really not allow men to confuse our minds on who the Holy Spirit is and confuse us about the work of the Holy Spirit. So what we want to do this morning is just take a look at what Jesus, through His teachings of the New Testament, teaches us about the Holy Spirit. Now remember, if you will, a few moments ago we were looking in the book of John. John is a wonderful book. Teaches us a lot about the Son of God and His mission, the Holy Spirit and His mission. Helps us to understand what God really is and who God really is. Well, one of the things that we learned in John, the 16th chapter, you start in chapter 14, 15, and 16. Jesus speaking to these apostles, starting out in the upper room, and leaving and going out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, leading up to His death. In the 13th verse of John chapter 16, we learn that the Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead. Jesus referred to His Holy Spirit with a personal pronoun. He said, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Remember what Jesus is doing now. I got to leave you guys. I'm going to die on the cross. They're going to put me in that bar of tomb. I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm going to spend about 40 days with you before, but I'm going back to heaven. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to allow the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come, a part of the Godhood, just like myself. And He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you into all things. Now, in John chapter 14, a couple of chapters earlier, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit six times. Six times He referred to the Holy Spirit as He, and one time as Himself. So you see, when someone says, well, the Holy Spirit is just an it. No, the Holy Spirit is not just an it. The Holy Spirit is just an adjunct of the influence of God. No, the Holy Spirit is God. And when someone says, well, you can't make a difference between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is not the Word of God, and the Word of God is not the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit delivered the Word of God, but they're two distinct things. So you see, when you began to really look into the Holy Spirit, you can see why there's so much confusion in the world today and in the religious world about what they believe and what they don't believe. One of the things we notice as we look through the New Testament and as we follow through the Old Testament, you look at the Holy Spirit. We'll be doing that in our study on Monday nights. We'll look at the Holy Spirit in the patriarchal system. We'll look at the Holy Spirit in the Mosaical system. We'll look at the Holy Spirit in the New Testament system, the time that we're living in today. And we're going to notice that the Holy Spirit has all and every characteristic as God. Remember in Genesis 1? Verses 1 and 2. He was referred to as eternal. He was there when the earth was created and it was empty and void and formless and dark. He said, let there be light. And there was light. In John chapter 16, Jesus said he's coming to you apostles and he's going to be your guide. He's going to guide you, teach you, influence you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's speaking to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. Knowing that his life is shortly coming to an end, he's telling this young preacher, the Holy Spirit speaketh and said that in the latter days people would speak perverse things. So you see, not only is the Holy Spirit eternal, not only is the Holy Spirit a guide for the apostles, the Holy Spirit can speak. We learn in Romans chapter 8 that he can intercede in our prayers. Isn't that wonderful to know that we've got someone that can stand between us and the Father and intercede in our prayers?
Amen.
Remember this guiding business? Remember when we were studying the epistles of Paul, looking at his three missionary journeys? Paul was preaching on one occasion and he had a vision. He had a vision of a man standing up and waving and saying, Paul, I need you to come on over to Macedonia. In other words, he forbade Paul to continue to speak in Asia and said, I need you here, Paul, over in Macedonia. Why? Why did he need to be in Macedonia? Because Paul didn't know the Holy Spirit did. There was a woman there by the name of Lydia that had traveled 300 miles from her home. She was a businesswoman. And she was by the seashore, riverside. And Paul got there and he preached to her and she became a New Testament Christian. Oh, she was a faithful woman, a devout Jewish woman who had lived under the law. But she hears the gospel and she begins to change her religious affiliation. Isn't that beautiful? that through the influence of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were able to preach the first gospel sermon, but yet began the New Testament church, usher in the Lord's kingdom, and plant congregations all over the known world. Now let's close for just a moment. Talk about leading into what we'll be looking at tonight, the Holy Spirit in conversion. Here's where so much confusion really lies. You've got people that honestly, sincerely believe that you just got to pray through. And they agonize trying to pray through because they've been taught that the Holy Spirit's got to overcome you in some strange, mysterious manner. The Holy Spirit has got to take over your senses, your body, your feelings, your emotions. One of the things we want to pay close attention to tonight is the confusion that exists over the Holy Spirit is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is not confusing about what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. What's confusing is what man has interjected into what they say the Bible teaches.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what's so confusing is that many in the church, all they know about the Holy Spirit is what some preacher has told them over a generation of years. They haven't read their Bibles from Genesis to the end of Revelation. How long has it been since you read through the Bible? On a regular basis. I'm talking about this is a special book. It's a book about God. It's a book about sin. It's a book about redemption. It's a book that tells you about being born again. A book that talks about redeeming mankind, reconciling man unto God. The word conversion itself means to change one from one state or one condition to another. Remember what Paul said? In Romans chapter 3 and at verse 23. Paul said, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. It's God's dynamite. Remember what Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, said, Nicodemus, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. You talk about something that blew his mind. He was thinking, I'm a grown man. There's no way I can enter again the second time in my mother's womb. Jesus repeated. He says, you've got to be born of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. Do you know how many people there are sitting in places just like this in this town this morning? And if you ask them point blank, what do I need to do to be saved? Do I need to be baptized in water? Oh, no. No. You don't have to be baptized in water. Baptism has nothing to do with one salvation. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what His Holy Spirit had to say through the writing of the Word of God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples. Well, how are we going to do that? You teach them. And you baptize them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's called the Gospel of Reconciliation. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. I'm going to begin in verse 17. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are put away. Behold, all things are new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You see why the Apostle Paul would say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, long before he got to 2 Corinthians, he said, it's through the foolishness of preaching that God chose to save man.
Amen.
Now, why did he say it was foolish? Because the world in general will look at it as foolish. Paul says, all have come short of the glory of God. All need to be redeemed. All need to be reconciled. That's what this Bible tells us about from the beginning of Genesis 1 all the way to the end of the Revelation. It tells us and teaches us. How do we have that information? Because of the Father doing His part. The Son doing His in leaving heaven and coming to the earth and dying on this cross, shedding His blood and being raised from the dead. And the Spirit doing His part in guiding the apostles and leaving them the Word of God, the New Testament, so that the gospel of reconciliation can be preached to the whole world. That's our job. That's the reason we've been talking about the need to learn and dedicate ourselves to be a soul-winning congregation. To reach those that are lost, that have been confused about what the Bible teaches. About the work of the Holy Spirit and many other things. We'll pick up tonight on this same subject. If you're in the audience this morning, need the prayers of the congregation in